Well, God willing, this morning, we're going to talk about two of my favorite mistakes that people make all the time. I hear this over and over and over again. These are two things that I hear from people over and over and over again. The first one is one that I hear typically from Christians. The second one is one that I hear typically from people that may be Christians, but very often are not. In fact, the second one comes from people who very often don't believe the Bible is true, but they want to quote this verse, and so they rip it out of context and throw it at believers. So we'll talk about these two things. Hopefully we have time to do both of them. But I pray that you will find this helpful. Our goal here is not to ridicule anybody. Our goal is simply to try and clarify what God says as opposed to the stuff you'll hear. Okay? Here's the first one. And I'm telling you ahead of time, it is a mistake. I thought about asking you how many of you agree with this, and then I thought, oh, that's not nice. You know. So I'm just going to tell you, this is a mistake that I often hear people make, and I often hear people say this. Last summer, I was speaking at a conference, and somebody made this statement to me outside the conference before I even did my first talk. And I thought, oh, okay, I need to address that. So I went ahead and addressed it with that individual ahead of time so they wouldn't feel like they were being ganged up on in the meeting. But let me tell you what this person said. Get ready, okay? Because this may sound very familiar to you. You may have heard it from a Sunday school teacher, a youth director, a pastor, a trusted friend. Here it is. Well, all sins are the same. All sins are the same. I mean, after all, I know that all sins are the same. Bang! That is not correct. Okay? All sins are not the same. Let's talk about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, very clearly and forcefully tells Christians that not every sin is the same. Sexual immorality is unique among all the ways in which a person can mess up their life. Okay? You can mess your life up tons of ways. But sexual immorality? That's unique. That is a particular sin. It includes a whole bunch of different kinds of things. There's not just one way to be sexually immoral. There is heterosexual sin, there is homosexual sin. But it's sexual immorality. And sexual immorality is unique among the sins. Jesus said, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unique. Now, are you saying that sexual sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? No. I'm saying here's another example of Jesus setting one particular sin as different from all the other sins. He says you can be forgiven of this and forgiven of this and forgiven of this. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, that sin is unforgivable. Huh. 1 John 5, 16 and 17 says that some sin is different than other sin. Listen to this. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin that does not lead to death. Now that's a very difficult passage, by the way. And we don't have time to really exegete that and go into all that, but I want to be real clear about one thing. God is saying to us in 1 John chapter 5 that all sin is not the same. Is that much clear from what I just read? Here's another one for you. And those of you who are in my mini course right now need to pay special attention to this one, because this is one of the verses I told you to, it's in there twice in the book of Revelation, and I told you you needed to find it. Both teams need to find this verse. If you're paying attention, you're about to get the answer to your treasure hunt. Okay? Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, talks about the people who are going to be thrown into the lake of fire and singles out one group as different from the rest. Talks about adulterers, murderers.
Oh, really bad.
Yes, really bad. Horrible. But there's one out of the list that gets special emphasis. Who is it? Liars. All liars are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Well, maybe that was just, you know, kind of a, you know, off-the-cuff kind of thing, the way the Holy Spirit does sometimes. No, He doesn't. Okay? He repeats the theme in the next chapter. Chapter 22, verse 15. It lists again people who are going to be thrown into the lake of fire, people who are going to be excluded from heaven, people who are not saved. And it's a bunch of different categories. But there's one category of people that gets special emphasis. Here's the way it reads. Everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Again, all liars. Everybody who loves and practices falsehood. Lying is unique among sins. It's not the only sin. It doesn't even say it's the worst sin. But it does say that if you think you can get away with that, it's not a big problem to God, you are wrong, because Satan is the father of lies. So don't think for a skinny second that you can get away with being a liar and God will just overlook it, because everybody does it. Well, that's precisely why everybody deserves to go to hell. Okay? We're going to talk about that in another moment. Where does this confusion come from? Why would so many nice Sunday school teachers and youth directors and pastors and uncles and grandparents and so forth, why would they all have this mental fog that causes them to say that all sins are the same? Here's why. First of all, because everybody sins. Okay? Everybody sins. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so, this person may be sinning in a way that I would never do. You may have heard about the cowboy who was arrested by the sheriff, accused of stealing a horse. And he said, "Now, wait a minute, sheriff. I know that sometimes I get drunk and sometimes I kind of shoot up the town, and then I know that I've been immoral and doing things I shouldn't do, and I do lie sometimes, but I have never, ever stolen a horse." Okay? Everybody has their standards. And you see, all of us probably have something that somebody else does that we say, "Oh, I would never do that." Okay? I mean, I might kill somebody, but I wouldn't eat his brains. Okay? You know, we have our standards. We watch movies about gruesome, gross, horrible things. Our culture loves to be entertained by the bizarre and graphic depictions of things that we should never even let in our minds. And then we watch that and say, "Well, this world is just filled with disgusting people. I'm glad I'm not like that." Well, you may not be like that, but the problem is, we've all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because we've all sinned, here comes the second reason why people get confused. We're all disqualified from earning our way to heaven. None of us can possibly be good enough or do enough good things to sort of outweigh the bad and get us into God's presence. The problem is, God is holy. And our sin separates us from Him. So the fact of the matter is, even though I may not have done that sin, and I may not have done that sin, and I may not have done that sin, I have done this sin, and actually this one too, but I'm hoping I can keep those back here where you can't see them. Okay? So I may not have done what somebody else has done, but I've still sinned, and that disqualifies me for eternal life. I can't fix my problem. We use the illustration probably far too often of throwing up in the soup. Okay? I mean, we've messed the thing up. If somebody was fixing a meal for you and they told you, "Oh, I'm sorry, I think it'll be okay. I used a strainer and got out all the big chunks. But I did throw up in the soup. I just thought I ought to let you know." Would you say, "Oh, well, I'm sure it's fine. Just add some paprika." Right? No! Once you've thrown up in the soup, the question isn't, "Well, how much did you throw up in the soup?" Or, "Well, you know, what did it look like?" No! That's gross! That's disgusting! That's sick! So is sin! Our problem is we think our sin's not so bad. That's one of the reasons that God says what He does about all liars going to hell. It's because we, you know, we had a perfectly good reason for telling that lie. But no, God says His standard is perfection, and we all fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So what is the hope? Where can we find forgiveness? Where can we find life? We only find it in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. If you realize that you are a sinner and that you do not deserve eternal life, and so you turn to Jesus Christ, then whether your sin was murder or adultery or, like King David, both, or whether your sin is arrogance and pride and selfishness or laziness or cowardice or any of the other things that a lot of people find more respectable. Whatever your sin may be, God offers eternal life, total forgiveness, complete cleansing. And when we stand before Him in glory, it turns out the one who has been forgiven much loves much. So it's not like, "Well, yes, it's true, I did have some sins that needed to be forgiven, but I want you to know it wasn't nearly as bad as yours." People who have that attitude are not going to be in heaven, because they're still clinging to their self-righteousness. But people who are amazed by the grace that saved a wretch like me, those folks are going to be spending forever saying thank you to God, not looking down at somebody else. Is that clear? So, why would somebody say all sins are the same? Well, because they're confused. But does that make them a terrible person? No. It just means we need to be clear about what God says. There's no room to condemn others. But all of us desperately need God's grace. So do we single out certain sins for special emphasis? Because the Apostle Paul said sexual immorality, that's different from other sins. Oh, well, we probably ought to throw in lying, too. And of course, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, whatever that is. I haven't heard Pastor Wood explain that. And that sin that leads to death thing, I don't know if that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit or I'm going to have to go to the Ligonier's website and try and find that out. Maybe Hank Hanegraaff can help me. I mean, I'll tell you. Sometimes it seems as if certain sins are being singled out because they are. Because we like to pick on certain things that we don't think are going to offend this group. Okay? I mean, when you preach as a preacher, You can offend 5% of the group and get away with that. All right? They might even thank you for it. Oh, I really needed that. I really came under conviction. But if you say something that's going to bring conviction on 90% of the people there, you could lose your crowd. Okay? So preachers sometimes pick sins that they don't think are very prevalent in their congregation, and that's not a good thing to do. Okay? But it's why, for instance, you very seldom hear sermons against gluttony from preachers. Because we have to be careful not to fall over. I'm not suggesting that it's okay to pick out certain sins in order to try and make ourselves feel better. Though I am saying that that happens sometimes. But the other reason why it seems to happen sometimes when it really isn't happening is because there are some people in our culture today and within the church today who want to pretend that certain things the Bible calls sin aren't sin. Okay? When was the last time you saw an adulterer's pride parade? Anybody? No. People commit adultery, but they don't pretend that it's not sinful. We don't have groups of people who self-identify as adulterers and try and insist that there's nothing wrong with it. Well, you know, I can't help but come from a long line of adulterers. You know, it just runs in my family, and I guess I was born that way. Really? What about liars? Okay? Have you seen a liar's pride parade? Okay? Have you? No? Mm-mm. But we do have some folks in our culture today who are campaigning vigorously with the backing of the federal government to insist that all people everywhere recognize that their particular sin is not a sin. It's totally legitimate behavior. And folks, that is something that anyone who's interested in truth and sexual morality needs to be opposed to. Okay? That's why it has taken a bunch of perverted, demonized federal judges to overturn laws that have been passed in state after state after state after state all over our country, changing the definition of marriage. Because most people out there in the hinterlands still know that certain parts go together and certain parts don't. But we need to straighten all that out according to our federal government. And so we are forcing people to accept things that God says are not acceptable. And some of us are old enough to remember when the diagnostic manuals that the doctors used and that the psychologist used still recognized that certain kinds of behavior are actually pathological. Not only that, but let me tell you this. And I challenge anyone out there to correct me with facts. I will make a public retraction if you can give me the facts to show that I'm wrong. A little child in elementary school is taught by our government that they should not smoke. Okay? And the reason is because smoking increases your risk of heart disease and cancer and early death. So the government says it is imperative that little children be taught, don't smoke. It's bad for your health. Last time I checked, the statistics on the risk for disease and early death within members of the homosexual community, not just in our country, but in places like Sweden, where it's not a religious prejudice, those folks are at greater risk for disease and early death than cigarette smokers. Isn't that interesting? But while our government is busy telling our children that smoking is not okay because it's hazardous to your health, they're busy also trying to tell our children in schools all over America that engaging in homosexual behavior is perfectly fine and nobody should say anything bad about anybody who does that sort of thing because there's nothing wrong with it. Get used to it. Now, why is that? Why would we say, this is wrong, but this is perfectly fine? Why? Because multitudes of people have been deceived by the father of lies. And we should not be haters at all. But we better not be confused. Because we're the ones who are supposed to know the truth. And we're the ones who have hope to offer to people who are slaves to sin, whatever that sin may be. Whatever that sin may be. Whatever that sin may be. Is that clear? So should we hate people who engage in that kind of behavior? Absolutely not. We shouldn't hate liars. We ought to love the truth and hate falsehood. Is that clear? I hope so. So the number one bogus thing that I hear from people is all sins are the same. True or false? All sins are the same. False. Well, good. You've just exercised judgment, which brings up the second thing. This one I hear all the time, all the time, all the time. Judge not, lest ye be judged. It's not least, it's lest, but let's get on with it. Do not judge, or you will be judged. Isn't that in the Bible? Yes. Yes, it is. Well, who said it? Jesus. Well, then you ought to believe it, right? Yes, I should. And yes, I do. And if that was all Jesus had said on the subject, then I would say that I better just not say anything. Because I might be judging. But that's not all Jesus said. Where did Jesus say that? Well, take a look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." Did you hear what Jesus said? He says, don't judge or you're going to be judged. Caution. Okay? Then he says, you will be judged with the same measure that you use to judge others. That means if I demand that all I ask of you is that you always do your best. Well, is that what you do? We had a psychologist here to train the staff some years ago, and he asked that question. I thought that was an excellent question. I want to ask, how many of you always do your best at everything? Okay? I don't think so. I don't think so. Do you look your best right now? Is that as good as it gets? Okay? Did you get up this morning extra early in order to make sure you look your best? When you went into the kitchen, did you make sure that the food you fixed was the best food you could possibly fix. That's as good as it gets. I mean, you've already had today the best meal you are capable of making. Did you clean your room as clean as you could possibly get it? Make sure that everything was exactly the way it should be because you wanted to be sure to do your best before you head out the door? I don't think so. Okay? We don't always do our best. We say that very freely to other people. We expect that of other folks. But the fact of the matter is, we don't do that ourselves. And Jesus is saying, don't be a hypocrite and hold other people to a standard that you don't even aspire to yourself. Okay? So are you saying it's okay just to be a slob? No. I'm saying you need to work on your performance and not be harsh and judgmental toward others. And that's what Jesus says. He says, you're bothered because somebody else has got a speck in their eye and you're standing there with a plank coming out of yours. And he's using humor here. I mean, that we've all heard this before. But imagine if you'd never heard that before. That'd be a pretty funny image. You can guarantee the crowd laughed when Jesus said that. Because the image is that of a guy with a great big beam coming out of his eye going over and saying, hey, let me help you with that speck in your eye. But Jesus says, first, deal with your own situation. Then, what does he say? You won't have time to help anybody else deal with theirs. Is that what he says? No. He says it's great to help somebody get the speck out of their eye. But be sure about yourself first. Be careful that you're not hypocritical in your judgment. But then Jesus goes right on to say, don't give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. You need to know the difference between people and pigs. You need to know the difference between those who are ready for something good and those who are dogs. That sounds judgmental. You need to know the difference between a pearl and a pig. Okay? You'd be pretty sad going around with a pig around your neck, wouldn't you? Right? So, we're supposed to judge. We're supposed to be able to evaluate things and decide what is valuable and what is not, and who is ready to receive this and who we should hold back and say, no, I'm not even going to share this with them. Okay? Jesus would say to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but right now you're not ready to receive it. There have been times when I've been dealing with people and I just realized they were not ready to hear the truth. I didn't lie to them. I didn't say something that wasn't true. I just kept my mouth shut. There are times I've watched my brother, who's one of the most intelligent people I've ever met. I've watched him hearing inane things said by folks. I mean, just amazingly stupid things said to my brother, and my brother has graciously said to them, well, that's an interesting perspective. Now, he could have eviscerated them from a debate standpoint, just ripped them to shreds, but he didn't. He didn't say, well, now, just a moment. You've said a few things there that are completely ludicrous. Let me enlighten you. But he realized this person wasn't looking for answers. They were looking for a way to express themselves. And so he let them do it, and he let it go. And I've been impressed. And I'm trying to learn. Let me tell you something. Jesus says, you need to know the difference between dogs and pigs, and folks who are ready to hear. And don't throw your pearls to the pigs. That sounds like judgment to me, doesn't it to you? Well, look at Matthew chapter 18. Because again, we want to see what Jesus says. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says in verse 7 and following that we need to be ruthlessly aggressive in dealing with sin, to the point of cutting off, getting rid of anything that would lead us in the wrong direction. And then he says, we need to be concerned for those who are lost, because God is. How can you recognize that someone is lost without, in a good way, exercising judgment? And then he says in verse 15 and following, if your brother sins against you, go and, what's the next phrase? Show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you will have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that believers have authority from him to do what he says. So does this mean we never exercise any kind of judgment? No, it means we must exercise sound judgment. Look at John chapter 7, verse 24. John 7, 24. Jesus is rebuking people who don't even believe in him, and he tells them, verse 24, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Jesus says even people who aren't saved need to learn how to judge. You can't possibly go through life in a healthy way if you can't make any decisions. Well, who am I to say? Should I eat the possum that's been sitting there by the side of the road? Nobody's picking it up. I mean, you know, it's been there 3 days. I bet if I washed it, it'd be okay. What do you think? Would you say somebody who didn't know not to eat three-day-old roadkill was kind of lacking good judgment? Would you? I don't know. I don't want to judge. Judge! You're supposed to make that kind of judgment. Please tell me that you don't eat three-day-old roadkill. No, Pastor, I only eat fresh roadkill. Oh! Tennessee made the news some years ago because Knox County Mayor, when he was a state senator, introduced a law making it okay to eat roadkill. Tennessee was the first state to have that law. Not exactly what some of us wanted to be known for, but it's on the books. I understand. It was because if you hit a deer, you ought to be able to at least get something out of the deal. You're going to have to pay to fix your car. So, you know, why can't you eat the deer if you want? At least that was the rationale. Let me tell you something. Anybody who rips "judge not, lest you be judged" out of context and tries to use that as a reason why it's not okay for Christians to say that things God says are wrong, isn't being honest about what God says. They're quoting Jesus out of context, misapplying the word. And I know where that comes from. That comes from the enemy. That's his ploy going all the way back to the garden when he started out by saying, did God really say you couldn't eat any of the fruit
of the trees of the garden. Is that really what he said? Twisting, misquoting, misapplying God's word is the devil's work. Don't fall for it. Judge rightly. I'll give you a couple more passages. We don't have time for them this morning, but they're worth looking up. 1 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6 deal with the importance of believers exercising proper judgment in the church. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26 also deal with the importance of discerning and judging rightly. There are a bunch of other passages too, but I hope that at least helps you to be able to respond lovingly to people who misquote Jesus. When I agree with God's word, I am not putting myself in the place of God. But when God has spoken on the matter and said, this is right and this is wrong, if I fail to agree with God's word, then I am putting myself in the place of God. The one who agrees with God's word is not the one who's being prideful and arrogant. It's the one who refuses to submit to God's word.